Joshua chapter 4. So this morning we thought about this, that this crossing of Jordan is made possible by following the Word of God. You might say, well, that's not the Word of God, that's the Ark. Well, the Ark was symbolic of the presence and the Word of God. And it was that following that Word of God, that prescription that the Lord laid out, His presence, His power, that brought them to the place that they could cross Jordan at flood stage. But that's not all of the story of the crossing. So let's think just a little more. Chapter number 4, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that with the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So in this scripture, we're going to see that there are 12 stones taken out of Jordan, and there are 12 stones set up in the midst of Jordan. And I believe this, in this first instance, we've got 12 tribes. I believe you could say this as we read through this chapter. This is one instance of the working of God, but it's typical for all mankind throughout all generations. This may have been just for this particular instance that we read in history, but the type of it is for every generation, for every people, and for all time. So what is Joshua saying for them to do? He's got a man from every tribe, and they're to go out into the middle of Jordan, where the ark, where the priests are standing there with the ark, and they're everyone to take a stone out of the midst of Jordan, and they're going to take it over into their dwelling place, where they're going to camp this night. And they're going to Gilgal, that's the name of the place. And that word, that name Gilgal, means to roll. And I believe you could say this, I believe it would be very fitting that the wilderness, the unbelief, Egypt is rolled off of them. They're going to a place, they're going to a newness, they're going to a place they've never been before. They're going into the promises of God. And Joshua tells these 12 men, you go out and take every man you a stone upon his shoulder. So I believe you could say this, here is a place that the power of God was present. The power of God stacked up the water of Jordan right here. The presence of God, you know, not just the power, but the presence of God. That's what the ark symbolized. It symbolized the presence of God was with them. And for you and I, without the presence of God, without the power of God, our obstacles, our being able to overcome what is keeping us from coming into the promises of God, we don't have the ability to do that. They don't have the ability to cross Jordan. If it wasn't for God stacking up the water, if it wasn't for God holding back the water and stacking it up on the right side of them and drying up the left side to the Dead Sea, they would not have the ability to go over into the promises of God. So the presence and the power of God is necessary in my life, necessary in your life, for us to come in to the promises of God. So what do we do? As we said this morning, we have to follow the Word of God. We've got to follow the Word of God in spite of what we see. You know, if you go by what you see, the natural man looks at Jordan in flood stage and he says, there's no way that we can go over there where God promised. But when the 12 men went over to spy out the land, what did they say when they came back? They said this, it's exactly like God said it was. But 10 of them gave an evil report. That's what the book says. You know what the evil report is? Not believing what God says. The evil report is going against what God said. The evil report from those 10 said, we're not able. Those 10 said, there's giants, there's walled cities, we're not able. But I say this, with the presence of God, we're able. With the power of God, we're able. With God's command and following God's word, we're able. With doing what God said, we're able. Well, preacher, that's different. It's no different today than it was then. The particular situation may be different, but the principle is the same. There's no change in the principle. We'll still have to follow the Word of God, and I don't mean this literally, but we'll have to close our eyes to what we see and believe what God said to our hearts. And through and by the Word of God, we're going to have to believe God in spite of what we see with the natural eye. The natural eye is our enemy to the promises of God. Nicodemus said, shall I enter into my mother's womb the second time? Could he see the kingdom of God? He could not. He couldn't see that. He could not fathom that in his mind that he needed to be born again. Well, neither can the children of Israel see a way to get into the promised land unless they follow God. But the Lord has stacked up the water. And by the word of God, everybody's passed over except for these 12 men. These 12 men are still there. And they are men that Joshua has prepared. And Joshua says, go out into the midst of Jordan, where the priest's feet stood still, where they stood firm. And I want you to go out there and I want you to take a stone out of the midst of Jordan. And I want you to put that on your shoulder and carry that to the camp tonight. Why? Here's why. And notice, every person is represented. There's nobody that's not represented. There's a man from every tribe. Every man is represented here. There has been a deliverance of every tribe. Not one was left out. Even Reuben and Gad, who was going to have their inheritance, the majority of it on the other side, they're going across too. 40,000 of them are going across. But listen to these words. So go across, and every man, verse number 5, every pass over before the ark, your God, in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children shall ask their fathers, what meaneth in the time to come, what meaneth these stones? Now, do you see this in verse number 6? That the children ask their fathers, what mean ye these stones? Should everybody have a testimony? Should there be a testimony from every individual? Well, how many people crossed Jordan? These stones are representative of 12 tribes, which is going to include the whole of the people of Israel. But now let's bring it down to you and I today, for us today. Have we been delivered? Have we crossed Jordan? Let's think a little farther, and we'll try to bring it all together. So there's 12 stones going to be brought out of the midst of Jordan, and they are going to be carried over to Gilgal. He says this in verse number 3, "Take the 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." So take those stones and take them over where you're dwelling, where you're living. Take them over there where you're going tonight. On the other side of Jordan, over in the promised land, take the stones. But he also goes on to say this. So this is going to be a testimony. I believe that's what you could say about it. It's a testimony. Then he comes on and he says in verse number 8, "The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the priest, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes over them, and to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there." Verse 9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." So you see, there's two memorials, isn't there? There's a memorial on the other side of Jordan, and there's a memorial in the middle of Jordan. Now Jordan, let's think about Jordan for a moment. Jordan is called the descender. Jordan is the separator. Jordan is what's keeping the children of Israel on the east side from getting to the promises of God on the west side. The Jordan is what separates them. Jordan is a certain death without the promises and without the power of God. Without the power of God, without the presence of God, Jordan is surely going to kill us. But they're going to come through Jordan. They're going to go through Jordan to the promised land. And Joshua is going to set up a memorial, 12 stones in the middle of Jordan, 12 stones on the other side of Jordan. So I'd like for you to think about it like this. So these people, what have they passed through? He talks about in 1 Corinthians that they all were baptized in the Red Sea. They were all baptized unto Moses. They all drank out of that rock. They all, that rock that followed them through the wilderness, that was Christ. So could you see that this right here is a type of baptism as well? That going through the Jordan is a type of baptism just as much as going through the Red Sea. So when we talk about baptism, most of the time when we talk about baptism, we're talking about coming from someplace. And would you say that the Red Sea was a place where they could have died? Was it not a place of death? So Pharaoh's army, friend, there on the shores of the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army washed up on the shore. But on the other side of the Red Sea was the children of Israel alive. As we look right here, in the middle of Jordan is a memorial of passing from death unto life. In the middle of Jordan is the stones that are set up for a memorial of what happened here. When people come down to Jordan and they look across it, you know, I believe we ought to think about it like this. Maybe the memorial's hid today. When it's in flood stage, you may not see that memorial. But I say this, what about when the drought comes? What about when the famine comes?
What about when it looks like there's no hope? I tell you what we ought to be able to do. We ought to be able to look back to Jordan and say, right there is where God brought me through. Right there is where God delivered me from death. Right there is where God Almighty did a work in my heart, did a work in my life, and right there is a memorial of it. God brought me through that. And friend, you just think about this, that God brought them. He baptized them in the Jordan. And Paul writes to the people over in Rome. He says this, we were all baptized unto Christ's death. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. Can you see that Joshua is the one that's setting up the stones. Who is Joshua? He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the deliverer. Not Moses. Moses can't take them into the promised land. Moses can bring them to the place that they have to cross Jordan. I tell you what the law will do. The law will bring me to a place of death. But my heavenly Joshua can take me across Jordan and friends set up a memorial. I tell you what happened in Jordan. I died in Jordan. I died to sin. I died out. It was a crossing over. Friend, it was a bringing forth from the wilderness, from Egypt, from bondage, from slavery, from sin. He brought me out of that, brought me through death. I don't mean literally. I don't mean I died literally. But know this, that there has to be a resurrection. If we died with Christ, do we not have to be raised? If He died and we were buried with Him, symbolically, baptismally, we died with Him, so there must be a spiritual death. We were already dead by the Word of God. We were dead in trespasses and sin. But God delivered us through the Jordan. God brought us through the Jordan. And friend, you know what? When the devil says, they ain't nothing going on in your life now. I look at the famine. Look how low Jordan is. I tell you what I can do. Friend, when the waters are not flowing, when it looks like we're cut off, when it looks like there's no hope of God, I can look right back to Jordan and I can say, look there, devil. Look there where the Lord delivered me. Look at the memorial set up in the middle of Jordan where God delivered me from death. There's two memorials here. One in the middle of Jordan and one on the other side. Now there's two groups of people. Joshua. Don't say 12 men. Don't say the tribes. It said Joshua set up the memorial in the middle of the river. The people set up the memorial on the other side. They carried the stones that they were going to set up that memorial over to Gilgal. So let's think on that a few minutes. So as they take that over, listen just a little more. Verse number 10. The priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished. You know what the Lord's going to do? I tell you, the Lord is going to finish the work. God's presence and God's power is going to bring a complete delivery. He didn't let half of them get over and the waters come flooding back in. I tell you that they stood there until all was finished. The Bible says to us in the 139th Psalm, verse number 5, He besets me before and behind. What did the Word of God do? What did the Ark of God do? The Ark of God, the presence of God, the power of God went before them and stood in the middle of Jordan. And then they come 3/4 of a mile behind. They came and they passed the Ark of God and they went on. And friend, when everybody was passed over, the Ark of God followed them. I'll tell you, friend, that He sets us before and behind. God is looking after His church. God is looking after His people. And the presence and the power of God is before us and behind us. And I want you to know this, that He will finish the work that He started. You can count on that. What a great consolation in my thinking. A consolation that God's not going to leave me. You know, maybe people went out in the middle of Jordan, and I believe this. He heaped the water up. They may have looked at that and they thought, God, if something happens, we're all going to die right here. Well, that's the way it was at the Red Sea too, wasn't it? I mean, he stacked it up on both sides at the Red Sea. But you know what God's going to do? God's going to be faithful to every one of His gets through. God is going to be faithful. And friend, He's going to bring us through death and bring us over to the promised land. And He will be faithful. They'll stay there. The presence and the power of God will be there till the work is finished. There'll be no work done when the presence and the power of God is gone from this place. There'll be no work. But listen. Verse 11. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over. Nobody left out. No one left behind. From the wilderness to the promised land, God has been with them. He fed them with manna. He gave them shoes that didn't wax old. Their clothes didn't shrink. Their shoes didn't wear out. They had quail. They had manna. They had water. A friend, they had a passage through the Red Sea. They were brought out of Egypt. They were given water out of the rock. The waters of Marah that were bitter were made sweet all by the presence and the power of God Almighty, Him being with them. So they're all passed over. Verse number 16. Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the sole of the priest's feet were lifted up into the dry land, the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over her banks as they did before. The presence of God kept the water. It kept death off of them. But Joshua set up a memorial in the midst of Jordan. So let's think about the other side of Jordan. So I believe that you could say this, through death we were delivered. I can look back and I can look to where my life changed. I can look back where I was a child of Egypt. I was a child of the devil. I was lost and undone in living in sin and proud of it and glad to be there. But God brought me out of that place. God delivered me from that place. And friend, I know this. There's a memorial where God brought me from death unto life. These stones that's been carried out, these stones that are representative of all the people. I like to think it like this. These are lively stones. These are stones that talk. These are stones that have a voice. You read with me. Let me step back for just a minute and read this. Verse number 6, that they may be a sign, the stones may be a sign among you when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, what mean these stones? Tell me what these stones mean. Why are these stones here? Why are they here? So now let's think about it. Let's think about the stones being people. These men carried stones, but they really represented people, didn't they? Didn't these stones represent people and the presence of God in delivering His people? That's what they really represent. So these stones, if we go on over, they came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And you can look and encamped in Gilgal. That word again, that word means to roll or to roll off of. I tell you, the reproach of the wilderness, the reproach of the unbelief, the reproach of Egypt was rolled off of them that day. God, so there's 12 stones in the middle of Jordan, in the middle of the muck, in the middle of the mire, covered up with the water. And friend, there, maybe they're not seen. Maybe it's a long time before they're seen, but there's 12 other stones. There's 12 stones brought over to Gilgal, and they're set up, and you know what they're there for? They're there to speak. There's 12 stones on the other side that are there to speak of the goodness of God. 12 stones on the other side. How to speak of the presence of God. How to speak of the deliverance of God. To speak about what God has done for His people. Oh, I would today that we were lively stones. You know what will make us lively stones according to what Peter said? Friend, we coming to a living stone. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I became lively stones. We ought to have a testimony, folks. We ought to have something to say. We ought to have something to say for the God that delivered us out of Egypt, the God that delivered us out of the wilderness, the God that delivered us across Jordan, the God that brought us through the separation. You know what separated me from God? My sin. Friend, my sin and death and trespasses. I was dead. There's nothing that is dead can come into the presence of God. They couldn't even bring an animal with a broke leg to God, much less something that is dead. So these 12 stones that's on the other side, listen to what Peter says. Peter says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, that's the Lord Jesus, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So in the book of Ephesians, I believe you could see this, that God calls His church a building, a body, and a bride. Now Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone of the building of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the tried stone. He's the living stone. He's the stone, if you wanted to say it like this, He's the stone that was dead and is made alive. He said, I am He that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. What makes me and what makes you a lively stone? I mean, we were in the middle of death. We were in the middle of Jordan. And we were carried out of Jordan by the power, by the resurrection power of God. We were carried out of Jordan and we were made lively stones. We were made stones that can speak. We were made stones that has a story. We were made stones to tell our families, to tell our children, and to tell those that are coming on about the deliverance of God. We need to be lively stones. Listen, if we're not united to Him, you see that chief cornerstone, that was the first stone in the building. We're going to build a house. There's got to be a corner where you start. You don't start in the middle of the wall, you start on a corner. And if I start on a corner, then everything else is going to square off of that first corner. So for you and I, what makes us lively stones is our union to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not joined to Him, there's no life. There's no lively stone to it. They would just be dead stones. But you know what He says? These stones that you brought up out of Jordan, He said, I want these stones to be a memorial. I want these stones, you know, just think about it with me. You go right down here to Hot Springs. Isn't there a memorial set up right down there in the middle of Hot Springs? Got any memorial set up in Asheville? Got any memorial set up in Nashville? Got any memorial set up in New York? Any memorial over there in the harbor at New York? Any memorials, friend, maybe in Oklahoma City? You know what all of those are? All of those are things that happen to a particular people, a particular place and time, and to a particular area. But you know what we're talking about? We're talking about a work of God that is for all people, for all places, and for all time. We're talking about that God has made you and I lively stones in the building of God that we could talk. These stones are speaking. He says this in the 78th Psalm. For he established a testimony, verse 5, a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should rise and declare them to their children, that they might see their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment. Why does he want this stone set up? That their children might ask what happened here. That their children might say, what does this mean? And you know something? He did that because we're so forgetful. He set up a memorial because we're so forgetful. He set up a memorial. I tell you, every now and then, I need to remember this. I need to remember the whole of the pit from which I was digged. I need to remember that I come out of the midst of Jordan, out of the muck, out of the mire, out of death, out of separation from God. I need to remember that's where I came from, and God delivered me from there and set me up in Gilgal, set me up where the reproach was rolled away, and gave me a testimony to talk. He gave us something to brag on God about. So you see a death. I see a resurrection too. Do you see the resurrection? You see those 12 stones that were resurrected out of the middle of Jordan? You know where Jordan flows to? The Dead Sea. Listen to Micah chapter 7 verse 18. Micah chapter 7 verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Do you have any iniquity? Did Israel have any iniquity? Do we have any sin? Do we have any failures? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast their sins into the depths of the sea. You know where our sins are going? Friend, our sins are going into the Dead Sea. The Bible said in the 103rd Psalm, he cast our sins and our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Thank God he rolled the reproach off of us and cast our sins into the sea. How wonderful. So should we not be lively stones? If I'm genuinely saved, if God has saved me from iniquity, from transgression, from Egypt, from being a slave, from being in bondage, should I not be a lively stone? Should I not be a stone that can speak of the goodness of God? Should I not be a stone that could speak of the deliverance of God? How that God, here we were in flood stage, and a promise of God was on the other side of Jordan, and there was no way to go across, and the presence and the power of God delivered me. I ought to brag on him, shouldn't I? I ought to tell my children. Listen. You know, you go down the interstate. You're coming up on exit 42. Well, a mile before you ever get to 42, there'll be a placard there, and it'll have an Amoco sign on it, an Exxon sign on it, a Shell sign on it. You know what it's saying? Right up here. Up here. Then you go a little farther and here's three or four eatery places. Here's three or four places. It's telling us up here at exit 42, you can get something to eat. God is saying to the people, let me tell you what happened right here. Let me tell you what God did for me. This is a mile marker. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a place that we ought to set up a memorial. And we ought to never forget where God delivered us through Jordan, where God delivered us from death, where God delivered us from separation and from being in sin and being under the taskmaster and under the bondage of Egypt, and going, delivered us from those unbelievers, delivered us out of the wilderness, and brought us into the promise of God. We ought to remember that. What did He do with our sins? Psalm said He cast them as far as the east is from the west. Micah said He cast them into the sea. Hebrews said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. My God, you talk about blessed. If you're saved, you are blessed. Now, just a little more in the latter part of this chapter, number 4. They came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. If you look in your Bible to Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 5. What you're going to see right there is the 10th day of the first month. What you're going to see there is them putting up a lamb. You're going to see them putting up a lamb, and they're going to keep it till the 14th day of the month. They're going to kill the lamb. They're going to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and the death angel is going to pass through that night. I tell you, God has rolled this off of them. And friend, in the next chapter, they're going to celebrate. Our friend, they're going to celebrate a new Passover. They're going to celebrate not coming out of Egypt. Thank God they're going to celebrate coming through Jordan and coming into the promise of God. The 12 stones, verse 20, they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Now this is their camp. This is where, verse number 3, where they're going to lodge. Let me ask you. Would you say that we ought to have our stone with us wherever we lodge? Would you say we ought to have our testimony with us wherever we lodge? Wherever we go, should we have a memorial? Should we have something that would speak? You know, I don't know about all the things that are in Asheville. You know, there was the Vance Memorial. They tore that down. But if you started into downtown Asheville, you know, that stood up when you got up there to Pack Square. That would grab your attention. I believe if you'd been walking and you walked into Pack Square, I believe if you walked in there, you could read on the bottom of the memorial why it was there. For you and I, God ought to be able to speak through us. Our families, listen folks, we've got a multitude of people, and I don't want to be disrespectful or discount God, but we've got a multitude of people that have not seen the presence and the power of God like they need to. It's the truth. My nearness and your nearness to God will help the stones to speak. Our nearness and our unity to the tried cornerstone, I don't mean that literally, I mean that spiritually. I mean our nearness to God, our nearness to the Word of God, that should fuel and fire our testimony. When I look back to the hole of the pit from whence I come, when I look back over there, and friend, it looks like a famine, and it looks like, it don't look like, Jordan's way down low. You know what's sticking up out of Jordan when it's way down low? That memorial said, right there's where God delivered me. Right there's where the presence of God was when the flood stage was going on, and I passed from the wilderness into the promised land. I remember what God did for me. You know, we may get low. We ought to be able to go to one of those two memorials. And it ought to stir us up. Whether it's God giving us a testimony, or we don't have a testimony. We're dragging the bottom. Well, I tell you what, just go back there to Jordan and look over there and see what God delivered you from. And maybe it'll remind you and stir up within you, friend, that same God that delivered you from death is the same God that is with us today. We're prone to forget. There's no question about that. None whatsoever. So just a little bit more. I talked to you about us being baptized. Listen to this word in John chapter number 1, verse 28. So John the Baptist is baptizing. John chapter 1, verse 28. These things were done. Now John's baptizing. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. That Bethabara means the house of passage or the house of fords. So it may very well be that Jesus was baptized. I'm not saying that he was. I'm just telling you that he was baptized at the house of fords or the house of passage. Now, what would that ford or that passage refer to? Would there be any greater ford, any greater passing over than the children of Israel, probably 2 million plus people, going across Jordan in flood stage? Know this, the Lamb of God was baptized right there as well. I believe it ought to speak to us about our baptism into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and being raised. Isn't that what baptism represents? Doesn't baptism, if you're born again, if you are saved that you're a child of God, if God has redeemed your soul, if you've believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're baptized, what are you saying to the world? You're saying to the world, I have died out to my old self. The old man is going down into the watery grave. See them 12 stones there? The old man is there under the watery grave. And the new man is coming out and going to the lodging place. The new man, there's a new man that dwells in the promised land. There's a new man, and friend, those stones, those 12 stones speak. God help us that we speak. That our lives speak. Just a little more and I'll hush. What meaneth these stones? When your children shall ask in the time to come, what meaneth these stones? You know what it's for? It's to exalt God. What am I here for? I believe we could go farther. What are we here for in this life? To exalt the deliverance of God. To tell the world about the deliverance of God. When your children ask their fathers in the time to come, what meaneth these stones? Verse 21. Verse 22. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel. Do you see that? Saying. Testifying. Tell them. Tell them that Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Tell them. Tell them, for the Lord your God dried up. The Lord, what's the parents telling the child? The Lord your God. The same God that delivered me, that's the God that you need to depend on. The same God that delivered Israel across Jordan and across from death and delivered us out of death and delivered us from the wilderness and delivered us from sin and brought us and gave us a resurrection, that same God needs to be your God. I tell you something. If we can't convince them that we've got that God in our heart, you need not think that they'll want Him. They need to see a testimony and the Spirit and the power of God in our lives that God has delivered us. I'm not trying to be ugly, but how long's it been since our children, since our brother, since our sister, since our cousin, since this church has heard any testimony about the deliverance of God? You think, folks, why would people want this God? If there's no deliverance, if there's no joy, if there's no witness, if there's no power and presence of God, why would they want this God? Are we not under obligation? And I don't mean that. I don't mean that in the wrong way. I mean that in the sense that God has done a work in me, a work for me, a work through me, and friend, brought me from death. Should that not stir up something in my heart and in my life to give testimony for this God? What did our sister say? I'd like to bring something to Him. I tell you what that was. That was a stone that had been delivered out of Jordan speaking. That's what that was. I'm not trying to build her up. I'm just saying that was a fine example. Verse 24. Look now. Look who this is for. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. All of mankind, there should be an ongoing testimony of the deliverance of God Almighty. It's true, folks. You know, I don't believe I can have this. I don't believe that I can have a testimony memorial unless I've got a memorial of death. I don't believe I can have a testimony of a resurrection until there's a testimony that I was dead. I don't believe that I need to be saved until I see that I'm lost. Paul said, and you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Are we dead if we're not born again? Nicodemus was the teacher in Israel. But he was dead. Spiritually, he was dead. And until there was a work of God done in his heart, he could not even see. I believe he's saying see in the sense of understanding. He could not even understand or comprehend what the kingdom of God really was until there was a work of God done in the heart. So, folks.